You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Stocking. I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast. You know it's got to be close to Christmas with this kind of music, and it is. December the 17th, we're live, unrehearsed, and uncensored here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
8 days away, right?
Hey, Keith, I got a trivia question. Who's singing right there? Turn it back up a little bit. Let him hear the...
Ethel Merman.
Nope.
Who?
I can't believe I've never heard an answer to anything that you didn't know. I've never heard a question you didn't know the answer to.
Well, you found it now.
I cannot believe that. That's Angela Lansbury.
Okay. Yeah.
Angela Lansbury.
She didn't sing a lot, but...
That's probably why you were stumped.
Well, Ethel Merman sounded like that and sang a lot more. Okay?
Well,
she's the one who did There's No Business Like Show Business.
Well, Angela Lansbury did voice Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast. And so once you have a daughter, you know that. But Murder, She Wrote. That's right. Yeah. Eddie over there, not mic'd up.
I thought of her more as a serious actress rather than a singer. But I guess they all do a little bit of everything.
Well, I'll tell you. I watched
in more ways than one.
I watched Murder, She Wrote with my grandmother all the time. So I became a big, I'll say it. I liked Angela Lansbury. I liked Murder, She Wrote for what it was.
But you didn't think she was hot.
I didn't think that, but I tell you, I have precious memories of watching that with my grandmother. And, you know, she's Dame Angela Lansbury now, like Sir Elton John. They just give away knightships to anyone, I guess. But I did like Angela Lansbury. She's still alive. She's in her 90s. Anyway. Very quickly, before we talk about this New York Times article. So, you know, folks, I think a week or two ago we made an announcement that I had been interviewed by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Serge Kovalevsky. Pulitzer Prizes don't impress me, as I said. It's just an award that thugs give to each other that are in the press. But if you're going to do an interview, you might as well do it for a Pulitzer Prize winner of the biggest newspaper in the world. And I did, and the article was published last Sunday, page A1, I can't think of any more high-priced real estate in print than page A1 of the Sunday New York Times. We're going to talk about it, but first, Keith wanted to wrap up some things we were talking about in the last segment.
Yeah, I was talking before we had the break about what the real reality of racial differences in intelligence is. We have this thing called the Knowledge Bowl every Saturday morning in Memphis. And it has two different high schools. You know, sometimes a public versus a private school, sometimes two private schools, sometimes two public schools. Well, the one I saw had First Assembly Christian School versus Overton High School, which is part of the Memphis City
School
system.
All right, break down those two schools. And
okay, FACS was a segregation academy. Founded back in the early 70s when the busing order was handed down by Judge Robert McRae of the federal bench in Memphis. Overton High School used to be where Johnny Newman, the ace leading scorer for the NCAA in 1971, played at Ole Miss, went to high school. They used to have a really good basketball program. Then it became the Performing Arts High School of Memphis, and it, basically has kids that have aspirations of having some type of career in show business one way or another. Well, they were on, and FACS, with these little, you know, non-privileged white kids coming from working class and lower middle class backgrounds, beat Overton. It wasn't Overton, it was Catholic High School. Catholic High School was a Catholic high school that is now part of the Jubilee Schools Initiative for black and Hispanic students. And FACS won 385-20. But it came out when they were asking these kids about what they were doing and what their aspirations and dreams were. All of these kids that were attending Memphis Catholic have internships and special jobs to get them special inside tracks for jobs at these big corporations headquartered in Memphis, like International Paper or Federal Express or AutoZone. Nothing like that for the little poor working class and lower middle class white kids at FACS. But then when it came to actually answering things in this kind of intellectual contest, those kids win 385-20.
All right, let me break this down. So basically what you're telling me is, we talked about this movie at the last segment of the last hour. You're telling me, meanwhile, in the real world, based upon something you saw in a knowledge bowl featuring two high schools competing in an intellectual competition against one another, that the predominantly white private Christian school beat the predominantly black school 300-20.
385-20.
385-20 in terms of points, but it was the students from the black school that had all of the nice internships lined up.
Yeah, right. They're up here being pressed by affirmative action. I wish I could have been one of those white kids. I asked him about things like that, jobs. Just said, no, we're not the beneficiaries of affirmative action like our peers over here at Memphis Catholic.
Well,
we're the victims of it.
We're the victims of affirmative action. Those kids from the white school got the win in the Knowledge Bowl, because I'm telling you, if they had gone up against this woman in the movie about, they would have been the ones getting beat 400-0. I can tell you that much.
Remember they had the one about the black debate team.
Oh no, this is the truth. Well, what Keith said is the truth too. But yes, do you remember that we covered this on the show? If you had told me you were going to bring that up, I would have looked into it so I could tell you exactly who it was. But there was, oh my gosh. There was some black college, I think it might have been Towson. It was a, whatever it was.
Towson State.
Yeah, Towson State, maybe. And it was a predominantly black college. And they won, I think they beat like Harvard or something. Some Ivy League school. They threw all debating decorum out the window.
They beat them in a debate.
How they scored this thing, I'd sure like to know, but it was basically them just yelling cuss words, and they won the debate, and then they had them on the news, and they couldn't even string a single sentence together. It was
embarrassing. And they're portrayed in the movie like they're the biggest eggheads in the world. You know, they're, like I said, they're like...
They started rapping and screaming cuss words, and they won the debate against the Harvard debate.
Yeah, they're all Steve Urkel on Prozac in the movie, but, you know, in the reality, it was something totally different. And then they had another one with some little country school called Munford High School going against Memphis.
You're back
Overton.
To Knowledge Bowl.
Yeah,
now.
Back to the Knowledge Bowl.
All right, tell them real quick.
And again...
Very quickly.
These little unprivileged... poor working class and lower middle class white kids from Munford High School were mopping the floor.
And Munford, for those of you not in the Memphis area, is a rural country school.
Yeah, and not a Tony White suburb with
poor
gated communities
area.
Or anything. No, it's poor as a church mouse.
And so, okay. Well, all right. Well, there you go. Reality.
Now, that's why this has to be fake news, because we saw the real news and it wasn't anything like Hidden Figures.
Well,
the new movie. Catch it if you want
to. Go to a theater if you want to find out about the black women scientists who put men on the moon. We could have done it without them. All right, we'll be back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards, Keith Alexander. By the way, just got a message in from Paul Kersey. We all know Paul Kersey. He runs the website Stuff Black People Don't Like, but he also does some freelance work for VDare and for American Renaissance. Paul Kersey has written an article, The Truth About Hidden Figures, for VDare.com. It breaks down the whole thing about the real history behind this untold true story. They say that will be coming
never
near you.
True story that never happened.
I go to my Twitter, folks. I just retweeted the link at James Edwards TPC. Obviously, we don't have it up on our official website yet, thepoliticalcesspool.org, but it is there. And also during that last commercial break, we looked up that debate story we were telling you about. It was the Towson debate team that won the national championship by doing a lot of screaming and rapping, but it wasn't against Harvard. It was another university. But nevertheless.
And the name of that movie came out in 2007 was The Great Debaters.
Which had nothing to do with this debate, but it's the same type of situation. All right, so one thing that's happened since our last broadcast a week ago Saturday was that I have been featured in an article in the Sunday edition of the New York Times. Regular listeners of this show know that I have very little patience for the media. I typically reject any and all interview requests unless it's live TV or radio. I have not done a print interview in 18 months, going back to the summer of 2015, turning down some of the biggest outlets in the world, including the New York Times on previous occasions, even this year. But I did end that zero-tolerance streak last week, did an interview with Serge Kovaleski. Part of that interview, I was not the subject of this piece on the alt-right, but I was included in it. Overall piece is about the alt-right, but it appeared in page A1 of last Sunday's New York Times. And I'll just read a couple. Keith has read the whole thing. We have a link to the entire article at our website if you want to read it for yourself. Just going to read a couple of excerpts from it. The deceptively benign phrase alt-right now peppers the national conversation, often in ways that play down its fundamental beliefs, which have long been considered intolerant and hateful. The term's recent prevalence corresponds with the rise of President-elect Donald J. Trump. Alt-right leaders say his inflammatory statements and Twitter habits in the campaign energized, even validated their movement. But the alt-right movement is hardly monolithic, despite a well-publicized gathering last month in Washington, one that might have been mistaken for just another corporate conference were it not for the white nationalist sentiments and the Nazi salutes. The factions within the ranks can differ on any number of subjects, white supremacy versus white nationalism, for example. James Edwards, a far-right talk radio host who describes himself as a European-American advocate and who interviewed the president-elect's son, Donald Trump Jr., last year, or this year, wrote in an email that the alt-right movement was, quote, a group of marauding conservatives who reject both the failures of the establishment and the false gods of political correctness. Race is the united factor, Mr. Edwards wrote. One fundamental element of the alt-right that brings the disparate factions together is the awareness of the reality of race and the need for European Americans to have organizations and spokespeople that explicitly advocate for our unique group interests. Again, you can read the whole thing at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I would say this before turning it to Keith. The entire article is total garbage, total fish wrap, as bad as anything you would naturally expect the New York Times to produce. However, the two paragraphs that dealt with me were actually fair and objective. The writer, I will give him credit at least for that. He was very fair and a straight shooter with his dealings with me. Myself, as I describe myself, and so I guess I ended my vow of silence with the media by figuring that nothing I could say would damage Trump now that he's the president-elect, and so let's just let it ride. The press may have thought I was open for business after this piece appeared, because we received quite a few interview requests this week that were all turned down, although the Huffington Post did quote me using my quote from this article in a featured piece that they wrote. I guess you can do that, or even if you can't, they did. Nevertheless, break it down, Keith. You read the whole thing. Take it away.
Well, there's a reason that there are only two paragraphs devoted to James Edwards, and that's because James Edwards did not make a fool of himself, which is what they are always breathlessly hoping for, the mainstream or establishment media, when they take or interview somebody of from our side of the tracks on these types of issues. Now, the person they decided to focus on, I'm not going to name any names, but he lives in a trailer, and a pretty dilapidated trailer at that, wearing a T-shirt with his chubby wife and, you know, running around in a front yard that, you know, basically fitting all the stereotypes. That's the one they want to focus on. They don't want to come to James Edwards' nice middle-class home, or mine, or anyone else's.
Well, I wouldn't let him. And listen, I mean, living, look, that all that stuff that you just mentioned is endearing. It's endearing to me living in the South. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. And I know you don't either.
But it's not endearing to the average American elsewhere, let's say, particularly on the coasts, not the normal subscriber to the New York Times. They're playing to a stereotype, and it's not intended to be endearing. It's not intended to be positive in any way, but that's what they did in this article. That's why they do that, and that's why that particular guy got several, a lot more than two paragraphs of coverage, and why James only got
it's not a competition. We can get as much as we wanted if we'd allow ourselves
to
be
interviewed.
But the
thing is, though, James, and don't miss this point, because this is really important. They do this because they want to defame people that think like us, okay? That's the entire purpose of it. And when they stumble across somebody like you who is articulate and not extreme and says, things in a rational and intelligent way, they move quickly on to the next subject. At least that's my observation.
Well, right. And, of course, I didn't even grant a full-fledged interview. I agreed to be interviewed only via email, where I would have a transcript of the back and forth. And again, to his credit, at least in those two paragraphs out of the article, I was treated fairly. I was treated fine. But the whole article itself is, of course, the alt-right's nothing but Nazis, 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 swastika, Nazi salute,
People and living in trailers, people living down in the hollow, you know, looking like down in the boondocks at Billy Joel song, you know. That's what they want. This is what you're missing, people on the left coast and on the east coast, by not traveling through flyover
country. And again, to me,
that's what people in flyover country are like.
You live in a trailer, I'll probably get along with you. I can probably relate to you. But I see what you're saying. They put that as the illustration of the entire piece because that doesn't play they think that's a joke. They think that's something that's going
to
make
And they want to make our movement a joke. See, that's the whole thing. If the people are a joke, then their thoughts are a joke too. And that's, you know, again, more fake news. They could have gone to
They could have gone to Richard Spencer's mom's house.
Yeah, right, and done that.
Whitefish.
They probably went to it, and that's why they decided to try to get drive a wedge between Richard and his mother, because they didn't want to show somebody living in the Tony environs of Whitefish, Montana, as having anything to do with this movement. But if they can find somebody in a dilapidated mobile home, then that's who they want.
Now, nevertheless, the entire article itself was just a throwaway, disgusting piece collaborated on by no less than four of the New York Times' finest. It was a collaborative piece that was months in the making. I know one of the people that was interviewed in November for that piece that came out just last week. So it was several weeks in the making, and four people were working on it. The finished product was bad, 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 but two good paragraphs anyway, and I was happy to be included in them. Hey, thanks for your services tonight. Keith, we'll see you next week for the Christmas Eve show.
Okay.
Keith is leaving.
Keep it between
the ditches. Eddie will be.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Since Democrats hold a supermajority in the California state legislature, they are in a position to enact legislation on an urgency basis, and many legislators are preparing to do so in anticipation of the Trump administration. By passing urgency bills, Democrats in Sacramento predict they will be able to act fast, counterpunching in real time, if Republican President-elect Donald Trump signs federal laws or adopts policies they perceive as hostile to California, reports the Desert Sun newspaper. Legislative Democrats hope to demonstrate the old adage that there's strength in numbers when it comes to issues over which they are at odds with Trump, including the environment, health care, and particularly immigration. On December 5th, they launched a preemptive strike, opening the new legislative session by proposing two bills to boost legal aid for undocumented immigrants in response to Trump's threats of deportation. One would train public defenders in immigration law. The other would fund lawyers to represent undocumented immigrants facing deportation. Both are urgency bills that require support from two-thirds of the legislature to pass. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. Henry Kissinger has expressed approval of Donald Trump's selection of ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson to serve as Secretary of State. "I think it's a good appointment. I pay no attention to this argument that he is too friendly with Russia," Kissinger stated at a Manhattan gathering of the Committee of 100, an organization promoting closer relations between the U.S. and China. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
A lot of racist music on the air tonight with the Ronettes and Chuck Berry. Eddie Bombardier Miller in with us now. Keith had the first half of the show. Eddie has the last half. And Eddie was over at my house a little earlier this afternoon. We rode to the radio station together tonight, met Keith for dinner along the way, and we talked about that a little bit earlier this evening. But as you know, Eddie, yesterday was my wife's birthday. Now, I know you are... Eddie says he didn't know that. Well, you didn't go to the website yesterday because I put up a little announcement about it, put up a little tweet about it. Well, every time that an anniversary or birthday comes up, I like to retell the story about how we met. And, Eddie, you probably spend as much time with my kids as anybody on the staff, I guess.
God knows I love them. I'll tell them stories tonight. You know what? They were mesmerized with my stories.
Eddie came over to the house at about 3:30. We hung out at the house for a little while, got in the car, went and met Keith for dinner, and then we came on over to the radio station. But, so Eddie was singing them. Eddie was singing songs to them. My kids were dancing, and it's just all about family here in the cesspool. And anyway, so my wife had a birthday yesterday, and again, it's just amazing. I met her when she was 15 years old. I met her at church. My pastor comes over. I was too old to be in the youth group at that time. And so I was too old to be in the youth group anymore, but I could drive. So my pastor came over. I've told this story 100 times on this show, so indulge me, folks. Bear with me.
I like to hear
it. Pastor comes over. I was living at home at the time. And he says, we need you to help us haul some equipment up to the youth camp for church. They were having it at Nathan Bedford Forest Park in Tennessee. And I said, sure, Pastor, I can do that. No problem. And I'd get there at the church the next day and they load me up and say, oh, James, one more thing. We had a couple of extra people sign up that are visiting. And could you haul two passengers along with the luggage? And one of them was my wife. And that was it. The rest is history. We've been inseparable ever since. She was 15 years old. That was 2001. And gosh, since then, of course, we got married in 2006. That was 2 years after I started the radio show. Of course, now we have a son and a daughter, or a daughter and a son, I guess you could say, because our daughter is the older of the two. Lots of memories, lots of things have happened since that day, and it's just so special, so special. And I tell these people all the time, there's so many single young men in the movement, for lack of a better term. I don't like to call it the movement. It makes it sound sort of ominous. But there's so many young men that share our ideas, and I don't know if they don't understand or what, but they're looking for women that they can marry. And I tell them, you got to go to church. They're at church.
One of my best friends said that he met more women in church than anywhere.
I have to tell a part of my little story. The first time I saw little Danny,
you weren't married. It's been years ago.
Oh, that's right, because we were together for 5 years before we ever got married.
Oh, no, you know.
She was with me for my campaign. Of course, you and I met, Eddie, in 2002 when I ran for state representative. That was 2002 when I ran for state representative, and, of course, she was helping me with that campaign.
God, that was fun. We had some battles. We had some physical battles there.
Well, I mean.
Even my 11, he was 11 or 12 years old, my grandson then. He was ready to duke it out. But, you know, that was really fun. It really was.
And it never actually came. I'm sure our scribes at these human rights groups are listening. We never actually. There was never any blows thrown.
This was these were the glove kisses we threw. But the first time, I'll never remember, the first time I saw Danny, she wasn't too fond of Pappy. You were at the
Radio eccentric, you're an acquired taste.
Yeah, the gun range. You were at the gun range. That's came in, and
we used to have meetings at the gun range.
And she looked at me, and you could tell she came up. She didn't want no part of Pappy. I was pretty. I guess she sensed that I was kind of wild and unruly. But you were there, and I think you had part ownership in working in a hamburger place inside the gun range.
Well, that's a whole convoluted story. So there's a local gun range, Austin Farley, who was one of my original founding fathers at the radio show, I guess you could say. He was buddies with the gun range owner, and so he acquired a stake of the restaurant for us. So we kind of ran the local restaurant there for a little bit, but anyway, that was short-lived.
But, you know, Danny, I guess I was kind of putting out some bad vibes, man, because he didn't want no part of me. And but, like I say, I grew up, there's nobody on earth I love more than Danny right now, and the kids. I love coming over here. I love coming to James's house every Saturday just so I can be with the kids. They're growing so fast, and you would not believe how sweet they are. They're so precious.
Well, here's another thing I'll say about this, and so many people are scared to be who they are around women. I will guarantee you that women, even beautiful women, my wife was a promotional model for some of the biggest companies in the world when we first were dating, and then later in our first few years of marriage before, as I wrote on Twitter yesterday, gave her the promotion to become a full-time mom. But she was working for a lot of these companies. And listen, women will be much more attracted to you if you're confident, assertive, aggressive, dominant. Be who you are. I know a lot of guys who will pretend not to be a conservative around women because they think that's what they want to hear. I don't know how far that really gets you. But it's certainly not the way I played it because, as you know, I started dating her in 2001. 2002, she was out campaigning for me when I was running for state representative and was everywhere I went, knocking on doors, passing out brochures. That was when she was 16 years old and out there working for me as I ran for office. And, of course, I started the show in 2004. We got married in 2006. So she's been there with me for everything in my political evolution except for the Buchanan campaign, which was in 2000. Other than that, she's been with me every step of the way, and it's certainly never been anything that has concerned her. In fact, she wants me to do what I love and wants me to do what I believe in and supports me 100%.
I'll never forget that.
They are out there. The point is, they are out there, guys. They are out there. And what one man can do, another can do. If I can do it, you can do it.
One of my favorite parts of the wedding.
I don't know. I'm pretty special.
I love that Confederate battle flag that James had at the wedding.
I didn't forget about that. I hadn't thought about that in a while.
I love that flag.
We had a Confederate flag at our wedding. Yes, we sure did.
That's where when I first met Bill Rowland in person. I had heard him on the radio. And Winston, Winston was my favorite radio personality for a while. And when I started, I listened to the political stuff before I came on board. But, naturally, Winston was at the wedding. Bill Rowland was there. Austin Farley was there. And
all the staff, Art was there.
Yep.
Everybody that was a part of the show in 2006 was at my wedding. And that was right before or right as Eddie was being eased into the lineup.
Yeah, I'll tell you, those were the good ones. We had some wonderful times. You know what? I got to tell one more story. One of my favorite times, out of the hundreds of favorite times, I guess, we had a ball out in the old Beanfield radio station. But one of my favorite times, you long-term listeners, you've probably heard this story before. But Pappy used to be pretty much of a gambler back in my other life several years ago. And I used to love to gamble. When I used to walk in the casino like at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd hear the slots going, and I hear people screaming, "Hard eight, hard eight." And I thought, this must be what heaven's like. But I'm telling you what, if you don't want to become addicted, never start shooting craps. Now, I love to play poker, Lord knows, but there's no game like craps. Well, I had rolled up. I was a regular gambler down some of the casinos in Tunica, Mississippi, and I had built up about $1,800 worth of comps. This is like 10 years ago, maybe more than that. But me and James, and we tried to get the Chiefs to go down there, but he weaseled out and didn't go. It was me and James and Winston went down, and we took the wives. Originally, it was supposed to be just a cesspool crew, but the wives would not hear anything about that, especially Winston. He was determined to get his wife in on it. So anyway, we all went down, me, my wife, my daughter and grandson, James, Danny, and Winston and his wife. And, man, we ran up – you know what? We ran up a bill close to $2,000. We had the concierge in there. Is that what they call him, the head honcho?
The maître d', I think, is maître what you would call him. And, yeah, he was in there, as I always like to tell it, with an organ grinder and a monkey. And he had – he brought in a portable fire pit and was doing tricks and swallowing fire. And he was a fire breather. I don't know what that was.
What do you call that stuff you pour out?
Yeah, it was
– flame?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. We'll think about it during the break. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I love this. One of my favorite stories.
Anyway, no, we've had some good times. We didn't pay a dollar for it because Eddie gambled so much. We got it was on the it was comp. Anyway, all right. Well, folks, listen. I did an ode to my wife on her birthday, which was yesterday. Check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Got some pictures when we first got married, and
find out who we are.
More recent. It's all about family. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
My sister began smoking because of friends. I don't think any less of her because she smokes, but it's been really hard because I know she could have done better if she hadn't chose to smoke. She's trying to quit actually right now, but it's a really hard process and she's down to a couple of cigarettes a day, so she's doing really good, but it's been a really hard thing in my family actually. It's caused a lot of problems. My sister smoking definitely hurt my parents. I'd come home sometimes, my mom would just be in tears.
Smoking hurts a lot of people, most of whom don't even smoke.
I definitely think my religion has played a role in me not smoking. I'm a Christian, and I believe I'm better because I don't smoke. Smoking hurts your friends, your family. It's not worth it in the long run. And you may not realize it now if you are smoking, but you will.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay.
Eddie, what do you say? I mean, you just take out early at night, let Sam keep playing these songs.
I'm ready to roll, son. I'm ready to roll some bones, baby.
How long would it take to get to Tunica from here?
Oh, well, you driving or me? some boy over here has a kind of a heavy foot. Pappy's seen enough wrecks where his foot ain't quite so heavy no more.
Well,
but that would be great. It would be nice if we could go down and make a little change for the Cesspool family.
We got to do something to keep on the air.
Sure do. I'm telling you.
Hey, one more quick thing about my wife. I think anyone who's married to a beautiful woman likes to brag about how beautiful she is, and my wife is most certainly that. But as you know, Eddie, and this gets back to the whole family thing, no one could have known. No one can know what kind of mother someone will eventually turn out to be, I don't think. I mean, I guess you could have an idea, but
it's true.
I could have never guessed in my wildest dream that anyone was capable of being the kind of mother that she is. And so I'm just so lucky. I remember it every day, but especially on birthdays and anniversaries. I'm not an easy guy to live with. I mean, I'm a difficult person.
You got that right. But Pappy loves you anyway, though.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hey, speaking of staying on the air, I got to ask you folks, do you want to treat yourself to an excellent Christmas present while also helping to keep the Political Cesspool Radio Show on the air into 2017?
Send us some crap shooting money. We'll double it, triple it.
Hey, no. In all seriousness, you want to get a great incentive gift, you want to keep us on the air, then take advantage of our offer for anyone who contributes $100 or more before the end of the month. This is a win-win thing here. The incentive being offered during this special Christmas promotion is the book, Downtown White Police, Demonizing the Alpha Cop, Glorifying Thugs, and Militarizing Law Enforcement. That was written by our very own criminal justice correspondent and former police officer, Jim Lancia, so he knows what he's talking about. Downtown White Police. Now, we've talked about this before, but I want you to listen to what I'm about to say, because as many times as Jim's been on the show, as much as we talk about this book, still pretty incredible to me. Jim was 18 years old when he was hired by the Bridgeport, Connecticut Police Department. And during his career, he patrolled one of the most dangerous neighborhoods, not in Connecticut, but in all of America, during the height of the crack epidemic. During his epic career, he once carried out 7 felony arrests in a single week, all with just a billy club and a six shooter.
He's the real deal. I've talked to him privately a few times. He's the real deal.
And he documents this career in his book, Downtown White Police. So again, folks, hey, we got to have your help to stay on the air. We got to have your help to stay on the air. And while you're helping us stay on the air, why not get this great book to boot? And you can do that tonight if you've not yet contributed. And by the way, we had a pretty good week. We're not where we need to be, but we had a better week last week than we did the first week. But we need your help. We're at the halfway point of this fundraising drive. It ends on December 31st. So if you've not yet given, and it all helps, $5, $10, $25, $50, but $100 or more, and you get Jim Lancia's book, Downtown White Police. Donate now. You can do it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And in addition to keeping us on the air, of course, Jim, we're going to pay Jim for the book, and we give a little tithe to the network. So you're helping not just the Political Cesspool, but our friends and comrades as well. So we need you to do it. $100 or more tonight, you get the book. And I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy it. But I'll tell you, you know, Eddie was in Vietnam, did two, we talk about that a lot too, 2 tours of service in Vietnam.
Be nice if you forget it some kind of way.
Did 2 tours of service. He was a combat medic. They fought that war the wrong way, Eddie. If they had sent just you and Jim into Vietnam with billy clubs, I guarantee you that would have turned out way different.
Instead of a medical bag.
You send to Bombardier Eddie Miller and Lancia with a couple of six shooters and billy clubs, and Charlie is done.
I'm telling you. Wait at night when you're sleeping, Charlie Cone comes just creeping around. You remember that old song?
I didn't know that was about Charlie.
Charlie Cone.
I thought it was about Poison Ivy.
Well, it kind of got turned around a little bit, redone a little bit in the knob. That's Charlie. He's a bad dude, son.
Yep. Do you think you could have taken him with a billy club?
If you can find him. The trouble is, you never knew who Charlie was. If you went into the towns with a little bit of furlough, the guy who's serving up your drinks in the bar could be the VC at night. You slip out, and you never know who the hell you're fighting. They all look the same. Okay. You know, luckily, I'll tell people I didn't have to. I didn't inflict the wounds. I healed the wounds.
Well, but, and that's what you did in a career through nursing, a combat medic to nursing, and you're a man of the people, Eddie. You're a true humanitarian. And I'm joking. Look at what Eddie is. We were talking about Richard Spencer's mother in the first hour, and the so-called human rights group who is, I don't want to say terrorizing her, but I mean certainly applying a lot of pressure on her. All right, let's compare what this so-called human rights group has done compared to what the political cesspool, one of the most, according to these same degenerate liars, one of the most notorious, racist, evil shows in the world. Let's compare our very own Eddie Miller to these human rights thugs.
Well, thank you.
Now, Eddie, two tours of duty in Vietnam, served honorably, honorable discharge, career as a medic, and now in retirement runs three marathons a year to benefit children afflicted with catastrophic diseases. Now, that's just one of our staff members. I would put Eddie's portfolio, Vietnam, career nurse, running marathons for kids now, even though he's 70. I would put Eddie's credentials against any of these so-called do-gooders that are up there trying to crush Richard's mother for simply giving birth to a good man.
Well, I tell you, too gracious to me. I really appreciate that, James. I really do. You know, and I'm not going off on a St. Jude rant here, but, you know, there are many, many needs in the world. There's, you know, the cancer society. There's arthritis society. There's Le Bonheur Children's Hospital here in Memphis. It treats nothing but children. You can't do it all. I've seen up to St. Jude. It's a supernatural place. I've been there. And all I can tell you is God Almighty is there. Why he allows the cancer to keep going, I don't know. We'll have to talk to him when we get to heaven. But I do know that St. Jude Children's Research Hospital has done a lot. And this isn't a commercial, but I'll wind this up quick. When St. Jude opened its doors in 1962, Danny Thomas opened the doors here in Memphis, Tennessee. The cure rate for cancer was like getting bit in the face with a cobra. Acute lymphoblastic leukemia was like the biggest number one killer. Like two children out of 100 survived. Now we have like 90 out of 100 surviving from that one thing. So that's why I'm so driven. And well, you know what? That's right, Sam. We have blacks, yellow. We have children that come from all over the world. Not only just all over the United States, we have children that come from all, you name the country, we got them. We have what they call the flag room at St. Jude. It's gigantic. We have flags from every nation in the world. I tell people when I go into St. Jude, I hang my political hat at the door, I hang my religious hat at the door. It's about the kids, all about the kids, nothing but the kids. And, you know, it, like Sam said, we have children from all over the world. I hear that FedEx, Federal Express will fly children in need from any point in the 48 states, and we support them at three hots in a cot. We have about five homes here in Memphis. But I'll tell you what, the political cesspool and Liberty News Radio has been helpful. Sam Bushman has contributed to my St. Jude Fund. James Edward has contributed. Many of you wonderful people on our listeners have contributed in my name. I certainly appreciate that. I really do. It's just wonderful. There's so many causes, but it's great. God bless political cesspool. God bless Liberty News, and God bless St. Jude.
Well, and God bless you, Eddie. And this is the kind of people we are, and this is the kind of audience that we have. And of course, when you contribute to the political cesspool, we haven't contributed radio program funds to Eddie's endeavors. Although I wouldn't have.
Yes, you have.
Well, we have had our people, our listeners have done that on their own volition, and we are thankful for that. And we have certainly promoted it on this radio, and we'll continue to do that. But when you donate to the political cesspool, one thing we're proud about is that everything that you give goes to keeping this show on the air. And again, the incentive this quarter is Jim Lancia's book, Downtown White Police. He writes, growing up on the streets that he patrolled as a poor white male with no privilege, has the credibility that's worth listening to. Along with his truthful social and political analysis, Jim Lancia incorporates his real-life police experiences to reveal to the public, the true side of race and policing, which shows a much different picture than what the public is spoon-fed by an agenda-driven media today. He also uses his exciting and emotional experiences to prove what police officers have to face today does not necessitate the need for fundamental changes in law enforcement, such as militarization. Downtown White Police discloses not only the disturbing fact that our police are becoming militarized, but also explains why this troubling trend is occurring and how race, religion, immigration, Black Lives Matter, and anti-police rhetoric are being used as a catalyst to accelerate it. What's more, Jim Lancey reveals how the media, the entertainment industry, politically correct politicians, and anti-white social justice warriors are shamelessly hyping the news while hiding the truth about crime statistics regarding race and creating a false paradigm that demonizes the white alpha cop and glorifies criminals. Hey, folks, $100 or more, the book is yours. Help us stay on the air and get a good book in return. With all the stuff in the news in the last few months, over the course of the last couple of years with Black Lives Matter and cops, how about hearing it from one of the good guys, a pro-white cop, now retired, who's on our team. He wrote the book, Downtown White Police, $100 or more. Help us stay on the air. Get the book. Donate tonight. We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
On the Liberty News Radio Network.